You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
We've won the gay marriage battle. Are we now going to neuter the First Amendment for people who still disagree with us?
I think it's always a temptation for us as Christians to want to find some sort of ideological system or economic system that will make us completely comfortable in our skin in this fallen world.
A Bible sermon is one in which the preacher is giving us information. So they're telling us about roads in Palestine. They're telling us about cultures. But that is not necessarily for me.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
The names are familiar. They ought to be. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, the three women who sit as justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. Never before have we had three women sitting on the Supreme Court. And one might try and discern a pattern here, especially when the court entertains questions of, well, not just political, but also religious and social, moral import, things like marriage, family, abortion. Where do these women on the Supreme Court fall? We often hear the term war on women, and that is usually laid at the doorstep of those who argue for natural marriage or for the sanctity of life. Those are intended somehow to be shots across the bow of women collective in the United States. We are told we are waging a war on women. Is it actually true? Where is the war on women coming from in the U.S. Supreme Court? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back for the second hour. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, July the 11th. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us for the first few minutes. We'll talk about female Supreme Court justices and their war on women. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be with us a little bit later. We'll find out what this caliphate is that has been announced by ISIS, that jihadist group, against Iraq and Syria. Bishop Keith Ackerman will be our guest to preview the vote next week by the Church of England to allow women bishops. And Wesley Smith will round everything off. We'll talk about National Public Radio host Diane Rehm recently lost her husband after a long fight with Parkinson's and other complications. She's in favor of a physician-assisted suicide. She says she wished that she would have the opportunity, that she and her husband had the opportunity for that. We'll see what Wesley Smith has to say. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at Issues ETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. She's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics, and she's also written a recent column for the Christian Post titled Female Supreme Court Justices and Their War on Women. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Do you think you're going to live to see a female Supreme Court justice that upholds, for lack of a better term, traditional values?
I think in the current political climate, it's extremely unlikely to find that. I mean, it could happen, but right now, the way things are set up, women such as Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, who give all of their time and attention to their careers, are the ones who are going to compete favorably for positions such as the U.S. Supreme Court. Women who have law practices, women who are fine academics, but who also have children, they have other concerns, they are at a competitive disadvantage in going for those, you know, cream of the crop type of positions. And so the kind of person who's most likely to get to the Supreme Court is the kind of person who is going to have, is more likely than not to be childless, and more likely than not to have the values that at this point in history are associated with that. Now, that need not be the case, but for the foreseeable future, I fear that it is.
What is usually meant by the term war on women? What's usually meant there? And what do you mean when you talk about that war on women being waged, at least in part, by the female Supreme Court justices?
Well, the thing, that was not my headline, I'll just say for the record. The headline that I gave that column, the Christian Post wrote that headline. The headline I wrote for it was the war among women. That was the headline I had, was the war among women, that there are two different kinds of women out there who have different sets of values and perspectives, and the kind of woman who puts her career first is the kind of woman who's likely to prevail in contests for power and influence, because that's where all their time and effort goes. And so there's a systematic disadvantage for the kind of woman who wants to have a balanced life, who wants to have career, but also have children and take care of her family life, and who values all of that. She's at a systematic disadvantage. And so the point of the column is that there's a war among two different kinds of women with different kinds of values. And so that phrase, the war on women, is basically a rhetorical device used to marginalize anybody who disagrees with the sexual revolutionary position that childlessness is best and all women should be at work at all times. You know, anybody who disagrees with that needs to be marginalized from the society. And the war on women phraseology is one of the terms that they've used to do that with.
You are quite bold in saying, at least of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the longest currently serving woman on the Supreme Court, that, I mean, you say of her that she is, in fact, a lifelong feminist ideologue. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you know, I can't think of a situation where she has been anything but in favor of the whole establishment feminist line. You know, who would argue against that? I mean, that seems to me that's part of her identity and part of why Clinton wanted her on the court, you know. But what I find interesting about her is she was born in the 1930s. She got married and she had her first child at the age of 22. And she had her second child at the age of 32. And she was married to the same man for her whole lifetime. And her husband supported her in her career aspirations, okay? That lifestyle that they had is now no longer possible to women. Well, women can go to college and go to law school and have a career and everything, but to have a child and before you're menopausal, to have a child in your 20s and get married and expect your husband to stay with you for a lifetime, that's very uncommon now. Because of no-fault divorce and the other aspects of the sexual revolution that have broken down the connection between marriage, sex, and babies. The life she had, one of the privileges that she had, is no longer available to women of even my generation, and certainly to women younger who are coming along now going through law school. They all presume that they must get their law degree and most of their student loans paid off and pretty well on the way to being established in their career. They assume they must do all of that before they think about getting married and having kids, because their husband could walk out on them and they'd be left alone with the child. And so that's been a huge factor. The impact of no-fault divorce has been a huge factor in the postponement of first marriage and first childbearing among the educated classes. And women such as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I do not think they realize the impact of their ideology on other people. And that was really the point that I was trying to drive at with that thing, that you've got two different kinds of women with different kinds of approaches to their lives, but one group systematically succeeds in the competition for power and influence, the ones who put their career first. And so other women are systematically disadvantaged, and that gap in power and influence is seems to me likely to grow unless some other voices and some other people get out on the playing field to do something about it.
You contrast in that vein. You contrast what you call elite women with every woman. What's the contrast there for you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's it. That's it. Every woman is the woman who wants to have a job, maybe needs to have a job, wants to have a career, but who is not for whom that is not their primary objective, for whom that is not their primary or only thing that they want in their life. They also want children. They also want a happy family life. They also want to be able to take care of their parents when they get old. Every woman has many concerns in her life besides her career. And so women who graduate from elite law schools, women who work in the news media and high-profile news media positions, women who have high-profile academic jobs, those types of women are the elites of society. I just don't think there's any way of getting around it. I know no American wants to be called an elite, but the fact is there are some people at the top. And to get to the top, you have to be single-minded, and you have to have a single-minded purpose to get to the top. It's not just that you're born smart or born rich or something. You have to also have some drive to make it happen. And so the elite women are those who have some combination of natural advantages plus the ambition and the focus to stay on that track. Anybody who gets off the mommy track, like the way I did, you know, you step off the track for a minute, you turn your back on your tenured job, you might as well slit your throat. There's no way you're going to get back on that path to be at the highest point of your profession. And so every woman is the woman who's got a balanced approach to her life and who's not going to ever achieve the highest end of the elites of whatever her profession is, and the elite women are not thinking about her, not really. They're thinking about themselves. They're not really thinking about the woman who's a checker at Walmart and what the policies are doing to her. They're not thinking about the woman who would like to get married, stay home with her babies, and stay married for a lifetime. They're not thinking about what's doing to her. They're not thinking about the college girl who'd like to be able to get married and have a baby sometime before menopause. They're not thinking about that because those aren't their concerns. They have other concerns. And so, therefore, somebody has to speak for every woman. Somebody in a position of power has to speak out. And the only two candidates I can think of people who are going to speak out for every woman would be women like me who are past their childbearing age and now can be focused, right, at the age of 60, 55. I can get involved in a more focused and intense way than I could before, and I encourage your listeners to think about that and do that. And also men. The men have to stick up for us. The men who have the positions of power and authority have to stick up for every woman. And that's what I said at the end of my column. I basically said, thank goodness for the men at the Supreme Court. Somebody's paying attention to somebody other than the needs of childless women.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics, and she's written a column for the Christian Post titled Female Supreme Court Justices and Their War on Women. You can find a link to it and to the Ruth Institute and their blog at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. He's author of the book The Great Divide, The Failure of Islam and the Triumph of the West. What is a caliphate? What does it mean that ISIS, this jihadist group, has issued one against Iraq and Syria? I am strong.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300 Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas, Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California, Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming, Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas, Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada, St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.